You are Locked On Kings, your daily podcast on the Sacramento Kings.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Kings with Hill launching a three. This one's missed. Spurs only have to take it across the midcourt line. They will continue their streak at Sacramento's expense. The final seconds are ticking away. And your final score tonight in Texas, Spurs 113, Sacramento 98.
Hey there, happy Monday, and welcome into the Monday edition of Locked on Kings. Hopefully everybody had a great weekend. As today on the podcast, we'll look back at the San Antonio game from yesterday, look to the week ahead in which the Sacramento Kings will take on New Orleans Tuesday. And then, of course, you've got later in the week, Rarity, a home back-to-back Friday, the Warriors Saturday, the Dallas Mavericks. But check out the entirety of our Locked on network, all the things that happened over the weekend. You want the latest news there? Get those podcasts, like the big news on Friday, the just unfortunate news with DeMarcus Cousins, where he tore his Achilles and is out for the season. Go to Locked On Pelicans to get the very latest on that. But any other team you're looking for, Locked On NBA, Locked On Fantasy, Locked On any teams in the NFL, that's what the network has for you. So check it out. But one thing I forgot to do at the end of last week, and I had my notes here, and I can't believe I even omitted this, so I apologize. Never really got to the mailbag from last week. I had a couple of things that people had sent me, so I want to hit those up before we get too far removed from the questions that I've been asked, or at least the comments. This one's from Steve, who's a regular. Says, "Hi, Jay Ross. Thank you for addressing all the tanking talk on your podcast on Tuesday. In my opinion, tanking is really detrimental to the integrity of sports, and it bothers me that the tank movement has made it all the way to baseball, where the players drafted are usually 3 to 6 years away from ever seeing the big leagues. The goal of professional sports is to still win, right? Well, I'm annoyed enough by it that I would be fine with non-playoff teams all getting one ping pong ball apiece and have equal odds at every draft pick in the top half of the first round. Go by record for the second round. I know this idea will probably get roasted by podcast listeners who love all things draft. I actually do really enjoy the draft talk and prospect talk in general, especially when you have guys like Mike Schmitz on. But I think we as fans can no longer see the forest, the winning team, because the trees, the draft prospects, are in the way. So in my opinion, the best case scenario for the remaining games in this season would be to see visual improvement and continuity from the guys we already have under the age of 26. If that translates to wins and we slide down to the 5 to 10 range of the draft, I have no problem with that. There is already a ton of youth on this roster, and if the Kings are going to be good in the near future, they are probably a surprise free agent like Jabari Parker away in tandem with two or three of the current young players really turning into something. Thanks, as always, for the great daily Kings content." That coming from Steve. Steve, a lot of that I do agree with. You know my philosophy. I mean, I don't even like the word tanking. Even when people refer to teams that lose, they're tanking. I don't think the Kings are doing that. I don't think they have a ton of talent. I think they're trying to grow the talent that you're alluding to. I think there is no way that they could come back with the 10 young players next year. I think they tried it this year with some of the veterans with hope that they're improving and growing. But they've got to whittle that down a little bit and see who they want to go forward with. And here's another example that I think is a really good one for people to kind of digest because it hits locally here. Let's take the San Francisco 49ers. I know I'm jumping sports here, but at one point, they were, what, 0-8, 0-9 before they got their first win, and they got a win, and there were some fans like, "Don't win, you're going to hurt your draft status." Well, remember they made the trade, got Jimmy Garoppolo, and then they started to win games and win quite a few games with that same, quote, bad roster. Hey, let's be awful. Let's get the first pick. They're not one player away. Well, or were they? Were they a Jimmy Garoppolo away from feeling better about themselves and finding a way to put things together? So now where are they? Now you're hearing people talk about the San Francisco 49ers as a legitimate threat to win the NFC West next year. They went from, hey, let's tank, let's get the first pick, let's get a quarterback of the future, to playing hard all the way through, losing games, making an in-season trade, winning a bunch of games at the end, and then now everybody has the utmost confidence that they've got the right coach, the right front office, the right quarterback, a good draft this year, and they're just ready to fly. So my preference, as always, would be to win as many games when you're not making the playoffs to give you confidence that the young players, so that your young roster that you do have, is going to be a part of your future. Because I would maintain that, you know, what does this team have? 15 wins? If they ended with like 17, we would probably question every single player on this roster and feel like, get rid of all of them. They don't have any, none of their future stars are on this team. Well, you start to win 25, 26, 27, see some moments like De'Aaron Fox had the game winner the other day, or De'Aaron Fox on Saturday, Buddy Hield's big games, Willie games, Bogdan's games. You start to think, all right, there's a few pieces here. There may not be an all-star here, but maybe, as Steve said, you pair them up with another free agent or another all-star or someone you draft that becomes that all-star, then all of a sudden everybody starts to look better. So, again, I'm going to maintain playing as hard as you can, playing as well as you can, trying to win as many games as you can. And in this process with all these young players, I think it's going to keep you from winning that many games, and you're still likely going to pick very high in the lottery, but hopefully you're seeing something from the young players. All right, another one we had from the mailbag that I wanted to address was from Steven. Hey, Jason, was just listening to you and Damian fill in for Grant and Doug. You guys were talking about having attended All-Star weekends before. I was hoping you had a PG-rated story you could share. Thanks. I don't even know that I have an R-rated show, but what we were talking about was I've stayed at the Host Hotel a couple times covering the game for the Kings, and the people watching is fantastic. I mean, it really is. And when you're at the Host Hotel, the players are there, usually coaches, other media staff or NBA staffers, and then just the lobby is crazy, the amount of people that are trying to get in, whether you call them groupies or friends or whoever, but just the people that are trying to get attention. And then you're just bound to run into more people. On our floor, one of the days, coming out of our room, we saw Shaq when he was an all-star, and he was in this full length. So, again, he's a massive man, 7 feet, just humongous, wearing almost a shoulder-to-toe white fur coat. I think I was either in Washington or Philly. I can't remember which two. They're kind of blurring together. But seeing stuff like that, riding in elevators with who was it? Matthew Modine was an actor that was in what we ate at this hotel kind of breakfast buffet. We were by Ashton Kutcher. I think Jessica Simpson was singing the anthem maybe at the All-Star Saturday night. She was in line, but we really didn't even know who she was just yet. I mean, this was years ago. There's just so many things like that that aren't really like these crazy, crazy stories, but just being at the hotel, you just see stuff. And I didn't go to a lot of have the tickets. Now there's more parties that players have and stars have and different things, but it's an adventure. It's fun. And I can't wait, honestly, till Sacramento gets one. They'll get one at some point. It might be a few years away, but it'll be something that'll really surprise people that have never been to something like that. It's just getting bigger and bigger. And the amount of attention, the amount of people that'll be here, the stars that would be around, it would be pretty cool to be around that. So hopefully Sacramento fans and fans of basketball will get a chance, a taste of that at some point. All right, let's get into the game from Sunday. Kings playing the Spurs. Going into the game, you're finding out news that Garrett Temple was going to be out. Malachi Richardson was going to be out. Willie Cauley-Stein was out. You still had Giles out. Scal was out. And Frank Mason. So they only had 10 available players. Papiana Sampson, who they called up, Hield, Carter Hill, Fox, Bogdanovich, Kufis, Randolph, and Jackson against a Spurs team that had a bad, bad loss the other day. So you knew they would be fired up to play. And the Spurs were, but I thought the Kings played well. They were hanging with them. In fact, Sacramento, after one quarter, down 7, 29-22, then they got to within a one-point lead after two quarters. So they led 50-49 at the half after a 12-4 finish. Third quarter kind of derailed them where they were outscored 30-19. And in the end, they lose 113-98. That's 13 straight wins by the Spurs over the Kings, 19 of their last 20 in San Antonio. Before we get into more details of the game, though, have to talk about the news right early into the game. And it was really kind of frightening. You weren't sure if there was a major story going on with this, but Dave Yeager, about a minute or two into the game, jumped up from kind of a seated position and then, you know, kind of clapped his hands, yelled something either to a ref or a player, and then went down to a knee and reported dizziness. And he was looked at briefly on the bench and then taken to the locker room and then was said he was going to be done for the day. So Elston Turner coached the rest of the game. But that situation was scary. Was working with Jerry Reynolds on the radio side for our pregame and postgame. And if you hadn't heard the story before, Jerry, when he was coaching the Kings, actually did pass out during a game. And there's so many weird things that happened on that night. Jerry passed out, was given a technical because Blaine Reichelt, the referee, thought that Jerry was showing him up. Once he realized he legitimately passed out, they rescinded the technical. Kings ended up winning the game on a Harold Presley game winner, but it was just a weird night. Jerry talked about how, you know, a change of diet and a few different things there and just the stress of the job, jumping up quickly and saw some of those squiggly lines, and then before I know it, he was out. And so Jaeger didn't pass out, but just felt woozy, went to the locker room, and hopefully all things going forward will be okay for him. Now, on the game side of things, instead of hearing a recap, I kind of want to go over one player specifically, because I think nights like happened last night is exactly what Kings fans needed, is a strong performance from one of their rookies, and it's from their top pick, De'Aaron Fox. And De'Aaron had a great game, 26 points. Before we hear his highlights, though, I kind of want to go back to what he's coming off of, right? The game winner against Miami.
The inbounds pass comes to Bogdanovich. How much clock will the Kings use here before they attack? Bogdan, two strides from the midcourt line. Dribble alive from left to right to left hand. Creeping forward against Ellington. Screen from Fox. Bogey rolls right. He's straight away. Now he drives right. He plants. Tough two ball on the way. It's no good. Stick back here, and Fox came over the top, and he powered it down. The Kings have taken the lead with 3.3 seconds to go at 89-88. The rookie climbing the ladder. I mean, he exploded like he was on a trampoline, and he was way above the iron as he steered down the missed shot.
I mean, we're young, but it's just a reputation that you try to get in the league to just let everyone know that you're not coming in, you're not going to lay down. And, you know, that was a great team. You know, there's a reason, you know, they're in the playoff hunt in the East, and I just think we fought hard, and defensively, we really picked it up in the last, you know, 5 minutes of the game.
So De'Aaron's coming off that game. He backs it up with a 6-of-6 three-point performance, 26 career-high points, 8-of-15, 3 assists, no turnovers. Here was the night in a nutshell for De'Aaron Fox.
Bogey gives to Fox. Rainbow three. Score it, and the Kings are on the board. They trail 4-3 on the three-point shot knocked down by De'Aaron Fox. For De'Aaron, that's the 22nd three-pointer he's made, and now 70 attempts. Still a 14-8 game, 5.5 minutes to go. Driving to the rack, explosive move by De'Aaron Fox, took it right to the rim, and Popovich immediately there to call a timeout. Now he advances, gets inside the arc. He drives left side of the lane. The scoop comes up short against De'Aaron Fox, grabbed by Zach Randolph. Kings look for the lead. Here comes Fox. Will he explode in the lane? He takes it all the way to the rim. He puts the Kings on top at 48-46. An end-to-end push by De'Aaron Fox, and Sacramento has its first lead of the ball game. 7 points for Fox. Fox leans to his right, launches for three. He's got another one. De'Aaron Fox knocking down another three ball. That's the fourth one he's made in four attempts. He's now got himself an 18-point ball game. Kings are back within two at 69-67. And this time it's Popovich who calls a timeout. Still on the left angle, throws cross court to Fox. Fox shakes, pulls it back to three-point range, launches. He's got another one. De'Aaron Fox nails his fifth three-pointer in five attempts. He's now got 23 points. Kings are still in this ball game at 88-80. 7:45, still lots of time. Fox feeling it. Heat check. He scores again. 3 points on the deep left wing. It's his sixth three-pointer of the ball game. It's 90-83, and De'Aaron Fox now has 26 career-high points.
Nights like this need to happen more for some of the young guys, and I think for Kings fans to believe in their players, in their future, and for the players to believe so too. So on a night when Zebo goes 4-of-15, Bogdan Bogdanovich 1-of-7, and Buddy Hield doesn't score, you needed Justin Jackson, Vince Carter, George Hill, but De'Aaron Fox to keep you in the game, and Fox really was good. 26 points for De'Aaron Fox, but it still was a loss, 113-98. After the game, here's De'Aaron talking to the media.
It was in the first half. We were on offense, and I like kind of looked, and I saw E.T. standing up, and I saw y'all Coach Ye walking to the back, and then, you know, after that, I'm like, you know, I'm still focused on the game, and, you know, they let us know what happened. We got back at halftime, and, you know, we just went out there and kept playing.
Does that change anything for you, anything you guys were doing out there, having a different voice as the top guy?
No, I mean, you know, EC stepped up. You know, he did what he was supposed to do. And, you know, it had no, you know, real effect on the game, and we just came out kind of lackluster in that fourth quarter.
Was there anything you saw particularly for you that opened up your game? And
I made shots. That's what it was. You know, I was aggressive in the first half. Got in the lane. You know, got some easy layups. Really finished that first half strong for myself. And the second half, I mean, you know, I hit one, hit two, and kind of just got my confidence up.
How special it was when you saw Manu and Vince do play at this certain high level. how special it was when you see Manu and Vince do it.
I mean, Manu's still been doing it. You know, I've seen the flashes of Vince, and you know, he's had some games off, but then he's had some games that he's really, you know, I mean, not young Vince, but. You know, Vince has always been able to shoot the ball. He's so strong, always been able to post up, and that's what he does in those games where he plays those high minutes.
Yeah, I think he only made more than two threes in a game, I think twice this season. He hit six. Is that just a matter of, like you said, confidence, and then you see one go in and just kind of flows from there?
I mean, I'm back in Texas. My mom brought a whole crew of people that saw me playing in high school, so. You watch my high school highlights. I shot a lot, so. today, you know, one went in. Two went in. It's, you know, everybody on the team had confidence in me, kept telling me to shoot the ball, and all of them were really in rhythm.
So it's about building off performances like that, taking that into the next game against New Orleans, and more games coming up this week and the back half of the season. Playing like that, attacking the rim, making open shots. He has not been a great three-point shooter. He was making them, and he was taking them, and he was aggressive, and he hit all six. So that was very, very encouraging for me to see De'Aaron Fox play like that. All right, how about the coach's perspective? We're now going to hear from Elston Turner, who was filling in for Dave Yeager, and he addressed the media after the loss.
It's all right. You know, sometimes when you stand up real fast from a sitting position, you know, you get a little bit lightheaded, and that's what happened. And so we had precautionary measures, and he came back and saw the doc and our trainers, and, you know, took the rest of the night off.
Had he been feeling okay going into the game?
Been feeling great, to my best of my knowledge. You know, he's a young coach in good health, a lot of energy, and he exerts it during the game. He exerts it in practice, you know, and it's just an incident that happened. And unfortunately, it was when the lights were on.
Were you surprised? Because I saw you kind of grab him, help him up a little bit.
Well, I wasn't surprised. That didn't cross my mind. I just had to grab him to help him up. You know, if you black out, you know, you can really hurt yourself. So I just tried to keep him from hitting the ground. But he's okay. He'll be all right.
Coach, how special it was when you saw Vince and Manu still playing at a certain high level?
Say it again?
How special it is when you saw Manu and Vince still play at a certain high level?
Well, you know, hats off to both of those guys. They're real professional. You know, I haven't given that part a lot of thought about how special these two guys are playing in the same game together. You know, I'm other things are on my mind, you know, like how to stop the team and what we need to run. But, you know, I don't think there's a team out there that wouldn't have either one of those guys somewhere on their roster at this age.
What were the Spurs able to do tonight?
They made shots, number one. They were able to attack our closeouts. We could stand to have a little bit better rim protection. You know, once they got by our first line of defense, there wasn't a lot at the rim, so a lot of uncontested layups. And you know, they've been in a system for a long time. They have a lot of chemistry. And over the long haul, that's, you know, that really hurt us, them playing so well together.
So Turner filling in, and I thought he did some good things there, and the Kings battled, did a good job on LaMarcus Aldridge. I didn't think they defended very well in the game, though. Gave up way too much the rim protection that he was talking about, way too many easy baskets. Bryn Forbes got loose as he scored 23, but they did a decent job on Aldridge and Pau Gasol. What hurt him, though, was guys like DeJounte Murray and Bryn Forbes that helped contribute the 113 points, 33 assists for the Spurs, tied a season high, and they only turned it over seven times. So not enough resistance from the Kings defense. So now, what's next for the Kings? They got one more travel day. They'll be heading today to New Orleans. They'll play the Pelicans tomorrow. Pelicans are coming off a loss in a game on Sunday to the Clippers, but they're also coming off the biggest news here of recent memory, the injury to DeMarcus Cousins. Cousins and the Pelicans were playing their best basketball of the season. DeMarcus was set to go to L.A. to be in the All-Star game as a starter and was playing great. I mean, he really was. And you guys know I'm not the biggest fan of DeMarcus, or at least of what the Kings, where they were with him. I didn't want to see them get into a position where they're going to have to pay him a ton of money. And I acknowledge his talent, all that. But even with all of that said, I mean, come on, this is brutal. an absolutely brutal injury for him, for the team. He was playing great, and nobody wishes that on him. So it's just unfortunate. And again, like most Achilles injuries, non-contact. He was trying to make a play on a rebound, and he knew it seemingly right away. They did an MRI to confirm it. And so now decision for him, decision for the Pelicans organization, because that used to be a full season injury. Rudy Gay last year got hurt in January for the Kings, but was back by the start of this season, though I don't know that he's been all the way back just yet. And so DeMarcus, I hope for him that he does come all the way back and that he is fully healthy, that he returns back to the player that he was. But will he get that max contract? Will New Orleans or some other team try to sign him to a shorter contract to wait and see how he comes back and then pursue later? So decisions ahead for him, decisions ahead for the Pelicans. Can they still make the playoffs? This is the team they've had before without DeMarcus, kind of an Anthony Davis-led team, which is still a pretty good thing. But what Davis and Cousins were doing as of late, you do have to respect, because it was really starting to click. They had a good win over the Rockets before Cousins got hurt. And I do hope for a speedy and healthy recovery for him, because that, again, no matter what my feelings were on the trade, I thought the Kings did the right thing there in moving on from him. Yeah, I don't like seeing this. I never like to see anybody get hurt. And I wish him the best, certainly, going forward. So that'll do it for us today. Tomorrow we'll preview more of the Kings and Pelicans as the conclusion of the road trip. But we thank you so much for listening to another edition of Locked On Kings.
You are Locked On Kings, your daily Sacramento Kings podcast.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.